today, as I preach the gospel unto you, I'd like to deal with this subject, AWOL on God. I'm talking about A-W-O-L, absent without leave on God, AWOL on God. I feel like this is where we're at as a church and as a Christians nowadays. We're AWOL on God. You say, when it says absent without leave, absent from what? Absent from the will of God. We are absent from God's will. We're nowhere to be found. I want us to deal with this few places in the Word of God. And I'll show you where some people went AWOL on God, how to spot someone who's gone AWOL on the Holy God of Heaven. First of all, I want to say that they're not in their place. Here at 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by that tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." And the Bible says in verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Here, as I see it, reading this chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings, I see Elijah went AWOL on God. As he slays the prophets with the edge of the sword, as he just come down off the mountain, as he called the fire down from heaven, and then called the rain down from heaven, as he comes down, Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel, hey, what all that Elijah had done and how that God had moved in a mighty way. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto him and said that she was going to take his life just as he had taken the prophet's life, as the prophets of Baal. But as he saw that, Bible said, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. I want to say that when you go AWOL, he left those that he fought beside, that servant, that one that had been a minister unto him, that one that had been there by his side. He wasn't in the forefront. The servant was not. He was just content to wait on the man of God. And it seemed like that when Elijah went somewhere, that servant would be right beside of him. And he was doing the right thing. But as he left his servant there, he left those that he fought beside. Amen. I want to say that that is a mistake in the life of a Christian. Seems like when you see somebody starting to go AWOL, you'll see them forsake those that they fought beside on the church pew for a long time. That one that they used to fellowship with all the time. You see their fellowship start to dwindle. And you see as they start to walk out the back door, and they don't fellowship as much around the house of God. I want to say, you leave the servants, you leave those that you fought beside, and you're going AWOL on God. Amen. Next thing I see, I want to say that he whined, asked God to kill him, which really struck me odd, because it seemed like he was running from death, and then he gets under the juniper tree and requests God that he might die. I thought that was odd as I read this scripture, that here he was. He would rather die under the juniper tree, nobody ever know anything about it, just wonder where Elijah disappeared to, as to die on the battlefield for God. As I thought, as Jezebel is going to take his life, if he would have been where he ought to have been with God, he would have stayed with God no matter what. God never told him to move from where he was at. Here in the latter part of this chapter, the Bible says in verse 9, "And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" And then again in verse 13, the Bible says, "And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" As God has come to visit him, as he went AWOL on God, God come back around and he didn't have to. I appreciate God doing this for this man of God. I want to say I'm not putting down Elijah, because if I was in the spot that he was in, I might have done the same exact thing he did. But I'm trying to make a point today that we ought not go AWOL on God. But as God to visit his man, and he asked him in verse 9, "What doest thou here, Elijah? I didn't tell you to leave where you were. I never told you to pack up and go. What are you doing here, Elijah. And he gets him again in verse 13. Oh, what are you doing here? And Elijah goes through this spiel about how he's the only one that's left that serves God. And that he's the only one that cares anything about the Master. And that he's the only one that cares anything about praying and about preaching anymore. And God just reminds him, hey, he said in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. I want to say that you're not the only one. You're not the only one in the fight. There's no reason to go AWOL on God. God will supply. God's left him some few. There's not a lot today. And I was talking to my parents about this week. That's a fellowship of the brethren. There's not a lot of fellowship going on nowadays. And there's not a lot you can fellowship with. But God's left a few. God's left a few just around here and there that we might be able to get together with and fellowship in a fight the battle, and they go ahead and encourage you. And you see that you're not alone. God will supply the fellowship that you need. He will supply His army. He's still got one. Amen. I thank God for His army and that He takes care of us and that He has fellowship. And we're not the only ones left. Amen. The next thing I see about this, about going AWOL on God, this is how you spot somebody who's going AWOL. They don't answer the roll. When in the armed forces, when people go AWOL, they'll have duties that they're assigned to do. First of all, they won't be in their place. They won't show up when they're supposed to. Second of all, they don't answer the roll. Here in the book of Matthew, in chapter 26, verses 69, the Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou art also with one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Here as Peter is following the Lord afar off, he's going AWOL on God. He's not standing beside of Him. He promised Him in the chapters before, He said, no matter who forsakes you, I'm not going to forsake you. I'll go with you even to death, is what He said. But He found Himself going AWOL when the going got tough. And as He's following Jesus afar off, and they're taking Jesus in to crucify Him, Peter goes AWOL. And I want to say the reason he went AWOL was because, I really believe it was because he was afraid for his life. They were going to kill the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure he didn't want to hang beside Him. And I believe he was afraid for his life. But I want to say the reason that the church nowadays go AWOL is just because we are ashamed. We are ashamed of what we are. We are ashamed of God. We don't care anything about Him. We don't have people knocking on our doors, threatening our wives and kids. And you don't have to see them put your babies to death anymore. And you don't have to take a stand. And they ain't ripping and cutting you up. And they're not executing you for your stand for God. But we're not afraid, but we're ashamed of Him. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26 says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I want to ask you, is God ashamed of you? Is Jesus ashamed of you? When you go out into your workplace, do people know that you're a Christian? Amen. When you go to different places, can people tell you that you're something different about you? That you just ain't the average Joe? And that you don't care too much about this world? But you've got a sight set on another country. I'm talking about, are you ashamed of Him? Because He said if you're ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of you. Don't find yourself going AWOL. And answer the roll, amen. Answer the roll when it's called. Be proud of those that are redeemed. Be proud to be one in His army. Be proud to be God's child, amen. Answer the roll when it's called, and don't go AWOL on God. The third thing I see here, third way to spot somebody that's going AWOL, they're dodging authority. Amen. The last thing somebody that's going AWOL wants to run into is the military police. They don't like him because you know what they're going to ask them? Hey, where's your pass? No, you can't. You're not allowed to leave without a 3-day pass or a vacation note. And I want to say here in this God's army, He don't issue 3-day passes. Amen. That's just the way it is. God wants you on the line all the time. Now, He might not have you on the front line, but He don't give you a pass. Amen? There's never a time when you can stop serving God and go back to doing what you're doing. God doesn't give those passes out. Here I want to say, these people are dodging authority. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to say, here Jonah went AWOL on God. God gave him the commission and said, hey, you go to Nineveh, cry out against that great city. And all wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah didn't want to go. Here in the latter parts of the book of Jonah, we find out of Jonah's prejudice that he had against these people and how much that he despised and hated them and didn't want God to help them at all. But I believe that God chose him for a specific reason, amen? I want to say that here, this was a premeditated thing. See, people don't just wake up one morning and go AWOL on God. It's a progressive thing. It starts in the mind, and they start seeing it. And when they have a heart problem, then their mind starts developing these other problems. And I want to say here, he had a plan. He had a plan, a specific plan, when God called on him to go in the Christian service. The Bible says here in verse 3, But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I just wondered as I read this scripture, what was so great about Tarshish? What was there in Tarshish that attracted Jonah? Was there sin there? Was there something there that attracted him, that appealed unto his flesh, and he wanted to go to Tarshish? I want to say, people, they found a place that they're going to run to, and they've already got it planned out. And God, they said, I hope God don't ask me to do that, because if they do, I'm going to have to run. People run to excuses. They run here and they run there. And God asks them, hey, why don't you do something for me? And why don't you sing? And they say, well, God, I just want to run over here. They run over to this excuse, and they say, well, Lord, you know, I really can't sing all that well. And God says, hey, why don't you preach? And they just say, oh, Lord, we can't do that, and they run to that excuse. And they've run and run and run. And I want to say that they're dodging the authority of God. And I want to say that this is, as a Christian, that you should not ever run from the presence of God, because you can't do it. Here in the latter part of Jonah, we found out that Jonah, no matter where he run, God was right there, and he was going after him. And I want to say that here in verse number 7, the Bible says, And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. These men, when Jonah boarded that boat that day, he didn't think too much about it. They didn't think much about him. They thought, he's just another one of them passengers. And they didn't really think there was nothing special about him. But after they got into this great storm, and the ship was rocking and reeling, and Jonah was down there in the boat asleep, and they said, hey, sleeper, wake up and call upon your God. And then they cast lots. They said, well, find out by whose evil this has come upon us. And the lot fell on Jonah. I want to say that was not a circumstance. That was not just something that by fluke happened. God allowed that lot to fall on Jonah. Hey, man, others will see when you went AWOL on God. There's something about it. You can't go AWOL and keep it under your belt. Hey, man, you can't go AWOL on God and just do anything you want to do and nobody ever know anything about it. God made sure that these mariners here knew that Jonah was out of the will of God. And the lot fell on him. And after the lot fell on him, then he had to confess what he was. And he had to confess that he run from God. And he had to confess that he wasn't going down to preach to Nineveh because of his prejudice and his wrongdoing and his wrong thinking and the wickedness of his heart. Here in the book of Jonah, God has put this here for us that we may glean from it in our Christian lives. Not go AWOL on God, amen. There's judge me for going AWOL. See there? That in verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here in verse 15, the Bible says, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. As the sea was a rocking that boat, and the mariners, they was getting scared, Jonah told them what they had to do. He said, you have to throw me overboard. Nevertheless, the Bible says, they rowed hard to bring it to land. Sure, they didn't want to do that. But I want to say that there's judgment for going AWOL. There's always consequences for going AWOL. You say, what's the consequence here? He had to be thrown into the sea. And even though God's mercy, by God's divine mercy, He sent that great fish down there to swallow up Jonah. That was still a judgment of God. He wouldn't have had to spend those 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, in that fish's belly, if he would have not went AWOL on God. There's always judgment for not doing what God wants you to do. And I want to say that don't go AWOL on God. God's got a plan. God's got a man. He's always got what he needs when he needs it. I want to say don't go AWOL on God. Do the right thing and be in this war that we might be able to be successful. And that one day when this war is already won, but the battle that you're fighting, I want to say that I want to be able to stand one day and the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to say that's my goal and my dream spiritually is to be able to stand before the Lord, not so I can pat myself on the back and pin all the badges on my chest, but that I might be able to stand knowing that I've done everything I can do to stand, that I fought a good fight and I finished my course and I kept the faith. Amen. I want that crown of righteousness that God has laid up for me. I want to be able to have that one day. I want God to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That it's the last thing I see here. The Bible says, the next thing we see about people going AWOL. Here's how to spot somebody that's going AWOL. They go back to where they came from. When people in the military go AWOL, number one place to find them is back home. Most of the time they go AWOL because they're homesick. Maybe they just have a little something back there that draws their attention and that's in there that they desire more than the battlefield. I want to say as a Christian, there should be nothing we desire more than the battlefield. We ought to desire to be on the front line for God. We ought to desire those things and desire to fight the battle, the good fight of faith. But they go back to where they came from here in the book of John. Book of John chapter 21. The Bible says in the verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Here these disciples went AWOL on God. The Lord, that he was crucified, and as he has appeared, this makes the third time that he appeared unto them here in the latter part of this chapter when he said unto them, children, have you any meat? That'll make the third time he's already appeared twice unto them since he resurrected. I want to say God did that for their benefit, amen. He didn't have to do that. I appreciate God letting them know, coming down, realizing that they're flesh and blood and that they're not perfect. And so he did that for their benefit, but they went AWOL on him anyway. Simon Peter said, I go a-fishing. And I'm not dying. He wasn't talking about no fishing trip either. He is going back to what he used to do. He used to be a fisherman by trade. And as God come by, he went his way one day and said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They said they dropped their nets right there and followed Jesus. And now he's going back to where he used to be. I want to say that this friendship here, the relationship between Jesus and these men stayed the same, but the fellowship was broken. As Simon Peter was out on the sea, they had told all the night, taken nothing. And Jesus was on the shore, and he hollered out there and said, hey, children, have you any meat? And they had to say, no, we don't have anything. And he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And so they did that, begrudgingly, but they did that. And the net was full of fishes, the Bible says. And then John looked over at Peter and said, it's the Lord. Peter girded his fisher's coat around him. The Bible said, for he was naked and swam to Jesus. I want to say that big people, when they go away all on God, they'll do things they wouldn't normally do. They'll dress in a way that they wouldn't normally dress. They'll say things that they wouldn't normally say. I want to say that as I was reading about Peter going AWOL on God over here in the other part of the Bible, as he had said that he cursed and denied that he had known the Savior. I want to say that you'll talk different, you'll walk different, you'll dress different in what you go AWOL on God. Because what you want to do is you want to blend in with everybody else out there. You want to blend in with the world so you won't feel too uncomfortable. You want to make sure you fit in real good. The fellowship was broken between Jesus and these two men. The relationship was the same, but I want to say that fellowship can be restored here as they come to the Lord as He's on the shore. And Jesus had a fire going there for them with fish on the fire. And He looks over there at Peter and said in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these? And He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed My lambs. Then He looked over there at him again a little bit later and said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed My sheep. In verse 17, the Bible says, He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou Me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed My sheep. I want to say that God's got a plan, and He's got a specific plan that He wants you to carry out in your life. He's got a specific duty. And Simon Peter was supposed to be preaching the gospel, and he's supposed to be taking care of the flock. I want to say that God was still the will of God for his life. It hadn't changed any. And Simon Peter had to go back doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He had to repent, and he had to go back to doing exactly where he left off. I want to say, God, you don't jump in and jump out of the will of God over here and jump back in a different spot. You go right back to the place you jumped out, and you get back in right there. It doesn't work that way. You always have to get back in right where you got out. And that's where Peter had to get in. I want to say the fellowship can be restored if you're willing to go to God. Do what God wants you to do. Go back to where you left the will of God. Get back in. There is a fellowship restoration for you if you want it. There is some blessed times in Jesus Christ. There is that love of God that overflows your heart and the joy that you can't hardly contain. There is that again if you're willing to come back. Not go AWOL on God. To go back to where you left the will of God. Go back in the will of God doing the same thing that you were doing before. What God commissioned you to do. There is fellowship to be restored. Don't go AWOL on God. Amen. Fellowship can be restored. And you can have a wonderful, wonderful Christian life and see great things happen. But don't go AWOL on God.